Welcome to the Pope of the Media Studio Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.copr.com.
Grab your Bibles, come with me to Joshua chapter 6, continuing to deal with, by the Spirit, this topic of transition, and want to take a look at Joshua. As you're turning there, want to also bring to your attention that we ask for you to keep in prayer the Burgess family. The Sister Mary went home to be with the Lord, be celebrating her life on this Wednesday, amen, right here at the Church of the Redeemed at 11 a.m. funeral. Viewing will start at 9 a.m. Amen. As we turn to Joshua, let us pray. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. God, we are honored to do ministry for you. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, I just was feeling that thing, man. I want you to know that the people who during my time here, God has allowed me to do ministry with on a continual basis. It's an honor to do ministry with you. Scripture says this. We want to talk by the Spirit. Joshua 6, beginning at verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Y'all heard the story? Okay. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. See, look, I've delivered it into your hand. The wall is still standing, but I've delivered it into your hands. The city is still intact, but I've delivered it into your hands. Your problem is still there, but I've delivered it into your. All right, okay. Along with its king and its fighting men, all the people who are in charge and causing the problem, I've given them to you already too. But they're still there, but they're already. So what I need you to do is practice some unconventional warfare this time around. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city, everybody say shout. All right. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Pause by the Spirit here. Come up, look at me for a second. Understand that when you fight in the way God wants you to fight, people will think you're crazy. Because if I'm a soldier in Jericho, I've heard about Israel's army and how they've defeated the Amorites and the Amalekites and how fierce they are. I'm nervous when I hear they're approaching. But when I look over my big old strong wall and see these fools marching around, I think I'm going to sleep a little better that night because fighting the way God wants you to fight will oftentimes cause people to think you're crazy. Verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Would you join me in verse 12? Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city 7 times. In the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, When the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army to do what?
Shout.
Everybody say shout.
Shout.
For the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you'll make the camp of Israel liable to destruction. Bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed it with the sword, every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. I'd like to preach by the Spirit a message entitled, How to Deal with the Impossible. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We all pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We cancel the assignment of every distraction that has come our way, even on this day and even right now, so that in hearing your word, both as preacher and as your people, we might hear clearly, we might receive from you, you might get your glory in this place, and everything you designed to do might be accomplished here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Our hearts and our souls say amen. If you agree with that prayer with me, can you put your hands together and give God? Big Father, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I am convinced as a pastor, as a preacher, but more importantly, Shalay, just as a man who has made it up in his heart and that he is going to sincerely, with all that he can, try to follow God. Amen. Not be perfect, but that's where I am. I can authentically say that's where I am. Grateful for it, proud of it, but my God, that comes with great distractions. One of the challenges for me in following God is that in trying to get from point A to point B, he oftentimes takes me to C, D, E, F, and G, when all I really want to do is get from A to B. I just want to get from where I am to the rear of the sanctuary. Personal opinion, I don't need to see the fellowship hall to do that. The hallway in the rear for me is out of the way. I need to go around the steps over to my right over here and come through the kitchen. All I need to is get down, in my opinion, walk in a straight line from point A to point B. I don't understand why he wants me to see C. Or D. Or E. Or F. All, Brother Kenny, all I want to do, all I'm trying to do, Deacon Lilly, is get from point A. But there's some things you need to see along the way. And in life, because God is not simply concerned with your arrival. Lord, help me in here. Because he's also concerned about who you are, what you think, how your heart has been constructed, how you feel about him. what you know about him. What, when you arrive, you'll tell others that he can do. I've learned sometimes he don't just let you go from point A to point B. He takes you to C, takes you to D, takes you to E, takes you to F. If you looked at the geography, you would see that to get from the wilderness, from Egypt, over into the promised land, Jericho was not a necessary stop. Because there were other alternative directions that they could have taken to get over into the promised land. They did not have to go to point C, point D, point E, and point F in order to get to point B. But because God has been teaching them things along the way, before they can arrive at their place of destiny with proper understanding of who God is, how God moves, what God can and cannot do, so that they'll be in a position to give an accurate testimony about the God they serve to others, God takes them a particular way. He allows them, Minister Lingham, upon entering the promised land, to first have to encounter the very impossible. You are an army. You have recently come out of bondage. You are not fit to take down this wall. This wall has been standing for generations. Scholars refer to Jericho as one of the oldest wall cities in the world. This wall has been standing for generations, and you're only a few years free. How can you handle this? But when God wants you to know that I'm the God of the impossible, I've learned that he will oftentimes start you out at the most difficult place. He'll start you out with the most difficult task. He'll get the worst out of the way early. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that, because that's why I can say my ladder will be greater. If I did not know that God would take me through what he was taking me through, that's why I like David, because David says it like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And now surely I've been through the valley of the shadow of death. So now surely he's been my rod and my staff. So now surely. How do you get to a surely now, David? Because I've been through some things. I've seen some things. I've had some struggles in my life. And because I've seen Jericho's wall fall. And so he comes. And so God says, your first task is not redeemer, not preacher, not Tamika, not Charlotte, not Deandra, not Keith, not Omari, not to simply knock down walls. Your first task is to believe me for the impossible. Now the good news is, when God desires for you to fight and to conquer the impossible, he never requires you to do that by yourself. God, I feel like preaching. That's good news, Trustee Barbara. That's great news, because in your study this week, Redeemer, I implore you as your pastor, I implore you as the man of God who sent to this house, that you look at Joshua chapter 5 and look at the latter verses of that chapter, because here's what you'll see. Before it is that God requires Joshua to attack Jericho, he sends an army from his own legion town. The captain of the
the Lord's army shows up in Joshua's face, and Joshua does not know who he is. He's standing there in Joshua's presence, and he doesn't realize it, but he's in the very presence of an angel that God has sent with a message for him. And just like he did Moses, he told Joshua, you need to bow down right here, because the place that you're standing, because I just showed up, is holy ground. And the Bible says that this angel of the Lord, this commander of the Lord's army, gives Joshua the strategy that's necessary for victory. I just came by to tell you that when you position yourself in the presence of the Lord, good God Almighty, I feel some moment, he'll give you a strategy for victory. When you cannot figure it out by yourself, this is what the Bible says Joshua did. He was a commander. He was a leader. Everybody was looking after him, looking up to him after Moses. But when the commander of the Lord's army showed up, before the instructions were given, Joshua got down on the ground. He laid out prostrate. I came by to tell you, if you humble yourself, and here's what I don't like about the new church, Brother Nate. The new church frowns upon that which gets you closer into the presence of God. They don't want you laying out on the altar no more. They don't want you to tarry any longer. They make you believe you ain't got to kneel. But I came by to tell you, every now and then, you got to get humble enough that you get down on your knees, put your nose on the doggone carpet, and cry out. And see, when you're prideful, you tell God, I got it. When you don't want to humble yourself, you saying to the Lord, I got this, I can handle it, it's all under my control. But when you lower your face to the doggone ground, what I like about it, Nate, is the order in which the instruction is given. First God shows up through the angel. But see, God can show up and you cannot even acknowledge his presence. People do that in the church every Sunday morning, Deacon George. God shows up in the singing. I felt him in here a little while ago. People just sit there like a bump on the log. They don't lift their hands. They don't open up their mouths. They don't worship. Just because God shows up doesn't mean that you acknowledge his presence. That's why I feel like preaching, I'm gone. That's why healing can be on your row on a Sunday morning, and the person on your right side can get healed, and you can stay stuck in your mess. You know why? Because one received it. One acknowledged his presence. One invited him in. And another one just stayed right there. Just because God shows up does not mean you have to invite him to speak to you. But when the angel shows up, Joshua says, Who are you? And as soon as he identifies himself as an ambassador of God, he gets down. And it's once he's in a humble posture, it's after he's been humble. You've been a knucklehead your whole life. But when God took that business, you got humble, didn't he? You've been a knucklehead your whole life. But when God pulled you out of that relationship and caused them to leave you, you got humble, didn't you? You've been a knucklehead your whole life. But now that you can't pay the bills by yourself, now you got humble. Joshua humbles himself, and then the instruction is given. And when the instruction comes, it's peculiar, it's odd. It is Joshua, this fighting man, this military man, this this young man, we like to sanitize scripture. I'm telling you, if Joshua was living present day, he would have a 9 on him at all times. If Joshua was living present day, he might have something sawed off in the trunk. If Joshua was present day, he would not be the type of brother you would just want to walk up on. He had lives under his belt. But this fighting man is confronted by God with an opportunity to do something that's out of his character. Whoa, Lord. And that's important because based upon his history and his background, he's prone to fight. You talk to me crazy, I might hit you. When you go talk to her, you need to be careful because she's crazy. She'll cut you. She'll slap you. I'm just telling you right now, before you go talk to her, I just need to let you know. Demi will cuss you out. I need to let you know. DeAndre will get you. I need to let you know. Mara, Barbara will get you. And so much of who we are is a result of who we've had to be. Simply to survive the environment. So when Joshua was out in the wilderness, he had to fight the Amalekites. He had to fight the Hittites. He was the warrior, and Moses was the sage. When Moses' arms were lifted, Joshua was down there taking heads. But while fighting, I thank you for your word, has to be an aspect of who you are in Christ, because we are called to fight the good fight of faith. It can't be the totality of who you are. You've also got to learn how to lay down and trust God. You've also got to learn how to keep your mouth shut. That's what's wrong with many of us in the church today. We're out of balance. All we know how to do is fight, fight, fight. We don't know how to be still and know. We don't know how to trust. We don't know how to wait on the Lord. All we know how to do is go get it, go get it, go get it. But you can go get the wrong thing. So Joshua, who's been fighting, see, understand now what must be happening inside of him psychologically, because Joshua, who's been fighting, is now being given a strategy for victory and dealing with an impossible that does not involve a sword, that does not involve a shield, that does not involve... Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Out there in the wilderness, fighting was the way. Out there in the wilderness, his opponents got defeated with fists and with knuckles and with heels and with battling rams. But in here, God is saying, I'm trying to show you that even though you're a fighter, even though you're a warrior, that's not the totality of who you are. And by the way, that's good news, because that's not all of who I am. Aren't you glad God is not just a fighter? Can you imagine you having to go up against God the fighter exclusively? I'm glad he's God the forgiver. I'm glad he's God the lover, because he could have taken me out a long time ago. Y'all ain't preaching with me up in here, but there's somebody in here that knows on the shadow of a doubt, if all God knew how to fight and to destroy and to tear down with all the sin I was in, he would have taken me out a long time ago. I would not be alive here today, but I'm thankful faithful to God, that while he'll fight on my behalf, he'll also be the lover of my soul. He'll also forgive me of my sins. I'm glad today that even when I could not forgive myself, he forgave me, taught me how to love. What kind of love is this, that a man would lay down his life, good God, for somebody else? I'm glad today. I'm not ready to close yet, but is there anybody glad? Thank you for being the lover of my soul and the protector of my life. I'm going to let you go, man. Miss Lingley, I'm going to preach. I got to let you go. But listen, let me tell you. He comes to Joshua. He says, I'm going to show you another way. This way involves obedience. I'm going to teach you. If you're going to win with me, you're going to have to do some things. Ain't going to always make sense to you. This way involves camaraderie. Because I don't just want you to march around by yourself. I don't want you to be the type of leader who's a do-it-all. Never wants to share. Wants to take all the credit for the victory. So here's what I'm going to do. Forgive me, Joshua. I know you're the head man, but you ain't going to be out front. The priests are going to lead with the ark. And they're going to carry the ark. Listen to the word. Don't put none in my preaching. The priests are going to carry the ark. Put none in God's preaching. And they're going to be out front. And they're going to lead. And you're going to walk around. Here's being victorious this way. When you win with your sword, Joshua, everybody going to be talking about how strong you are. How powerful you are. You're such a fearless leader. But this time around, people are going to think you're crazy until I show up. But when I show up, come on, let's go. And you are attentive to what I've called you to do. And I came by to tell somebody as I get out of here on today that sooner or later, if you keep on walking with your God, he's bound to show up. Is there anybody here? And you found out in your life that if you keep on walking, keep on marching, keep on trusting in the Lord, sooner or later, God's bound to show up. And so now here is Joshua marching around Jericho's walls. He's got camaraderie down. He's got obedience down. He's laid himself down and trusted in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, that's got to come first. Before you start swinging your fists, that's got to come first. Before you start getting ready to win, that's got to come first. Come on and help me close and say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. It's about time for us to walk around. Walk around Jericho's walls. The impossible is coming. We're going to be a church without a pastor. The impossible is coming. We're going to have to hold up one another's arms. The impossible is coming. But my God is still able. And so now here is Joshua marching with the army around Jericho's walls. They got to learn how to walk together. Grab your neighbor by the arm and say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. We got to walk together, children. I dare you to grab your neighbor now and shake them and rock them and rock them and shake them and say, neighbor. We've got to learn how to hold up one another, how to walk together, how to to stay together in harm's way because they're next to a wall. They can throw rocks down. They can throw arrows down. But God kept them as long as they stayed together. And here's what we got to learn how to do. If we gonna make it out of this thing, we got to learn how to pray. Because the Bible says, after they'd walked around 6 days, on the seventh day, tell your neighbor now, there's something about that seven. It took God 7 days to make the heavens and the earth. It took Naaman 7 dips to come up white as snow. Am I right about it? And on the seventh time, they let out a shout. But it wasn't just one shout. It wasn't just a deacon shout. It wasn't just a trustee shout. It wasn't just a choir shout. They had to learn how to shout and how to praise together. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout with a voice of triumph. Shout in this house. Shout in this house. You coming out. Shout like we gonna make it. Shout like it's not over. Shout for your children. Shout for your victory. Shout for your God. Shout. Shout. Anymore. We don't know how to praise anymore. I don't know what your impossible situation is, but God told me to tell you, if you shout, when two or three people are gathered in my name, I've got to show up. Shout with your husband. Shout with your row. Shout! Shout! Yeah, 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 yeah. Somebody, you're right on the verge. If you would just throw your head back, forget about your role, throw your hands up and shout. God would do something in your life. Chains would fall, strongholds would be broken, and the walls would come down. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Won't he, won't he, won't.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. I know. I've learned in my life there are times when God is waiting for you to stop caring about yourself so much that you won't just scream and let him come in. You may not believe in all that, but I'm here to tell you that it's true. That sometimes until you get to a place where you really release, I mean release control and release authority,
You're so busy trying to hold it all together. You won't let God come in and break you out. But if you ever get to a place in your life where you're facing the impossible like Jericho's walls, you'll learn how to shout. When your baby is the one headed to jail, you'll learn how to shout. When cancer is in your body, you'll learn how to shout. You'll learn how to shout. And I got the sneaky suspicion there's a couple of undercover shouters in here. But I dare you to just take 5 seconds. Come on and give my God some praise. Church on today. You may be dealing with the impossible. You may not know how you're going to make it. You may feel like you're up against odds that are too much for you to handle by yourself. The doors of this amazing house of God are open. Is there one up today? Come on, let's put our hands together, church. Do you need to come? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need to be baptized? Would you come? Have you been visiting and God has been whispering in your heart that you need to get planted here? And you're saying that sounds crazy. That makes no sense. You have all kinds of logical reasons why not. Let me tell you, it must have sounded crazy to Joshua to hear that if you walk around 6 times without lifting a sword, without a battering ram, without firing an arrow, and you just shout, the walls will come down. If the God that I serve and the God that Joshua served is speaking to your heart, get down those aisles. Come on, would you come? Would you give your life to the Lord? Would you rededicate your life to God? Would you come and be baptized? Would you come and join this branch of Zion? While God is moving, we're going to keep praising. While God is moving, we're going to keep praising. Would you come? If you know you need to be rededicated, would you come? Get right now while there's time. Would you come? Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's just give God some praise. I know you just. Amen. Glory. Amen. Let's pray. Come on, just say yes to the Lord real quick. Just come on, just open up your mouth and say yes. Glory. Come on, come on. Come on, I feel the presence. I'm trying to be pastorally responsible, but also I got to yield. Come on, just say yes to him. Come on, come on, come on, come on, just say yes. Come on. Come on, just thank him. Thank him in your own way. We acknowledge you. Just acknowledge that he's here. Don't just be looking around at folk. Acknowledge that he's here. Acknowledge that he's moving. That his hand is still resting on this place. Acknowledge that he's God. God, as we want to say thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your power and for your divine instruction. Thank you that in you, even when we are weak, we can say we're strong. Thank you for your authority and how it rests in and on our lives. And thank you for this example from Joshua. God, transition may be upon us. It is upon us. And at times, as a part of the transitional process, we'll face obstacles that may seem to be insurmountable and impossible. So we thank you for this word on today. That if we humble ourselves and acknowledge you when you show up, like Joshua did when you sent your commander, if we are obedient to your word, no matter how crazy it may sound when you tell us what we ought to do, if we learn how to share ministry, walk around together, if we learn how, even when we don't know how it's going to turn out, to continue to come together, shout, lift up holy hands, and give your name praise, that every insurmountable wall, every unsolvable problem, every improbable victory will be delivered into our hands because of you. God, we close this prayer with this. When you give us the victory, we'll do what you commanded your people to do. We won't hoard the plunder for ourselves. We won't take the credit for ourselves. The Bible says they devoted the city and all that was in it back unto the Lord, because the victory belongs to you. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our hearts and our souls say amen, amen, and amen. Were you blessed by the word on today? Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Amen.